You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday through Friday, your team every day. That's what we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. Check us out also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, and wherever you listen to the show and all of your favorite podcasts. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Julian Council, where every Friday, like tomorrow, because today's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, I answer your weekly Friday mailbag questions here on Locked On Panthers. So either at me, at Julian Council on Twitter, or you can DM me, at Julian Council on Twitter, with whatever questions that you have. And go ahead and do that right now, folks. It's Thursday. Get those questions in. I'll answer them every single Friday throughout the season and throughout the offseason. So every Friday here on Locked On Panthers. On today's show, going to talk to the Locked On Cowboys host, Marcus Mosier, as your Carolina Panthers, 3-0. Head to Dallas, or technically Arlington, Texas, on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Greg Olsen on the call for Fox to take on the Dallas Cowboys there at Jerry's World. So we're going to talk about that matchup, our keys to the game, what we think about Dallas, what we think about the Panthers. So stay tuned for that matchup here after this message from our friends over at Get Upside. Y'all, Get Upside is an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about. My listeners, that means you are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play Store right now. And by the way, it is the grand total of $0 and 0 cents, meaning it's free. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back by using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN when you download the Get Upside app.
We've got a fantastic battle this week between the Panthers and the Cowboys, and let's dive right into it. But first and foremost, Julian, how are you doing today, sir?
Marcus, doing well, man. Excited to talk Panthers-Cowboys with you. Definitely a match of a lot of folks across the league are trying to see where the Panthers are for real or not after a 3-0 start. So excited to be sitting down with you today.
Yeah, and this is going to be a fun show because my co-host, Landon McCool, and I, we just love a lot of the guys that the Panthers have drafted over the last couple of years. So they're kind of like the team that we've been kind of keeping an eye on, right? We call them our pet cats, right? Like DJ Moore, we love. Tommy Tremble was a guy I love this year. And there's Brian Burns and Derek Brown. So you guys have a really fun team. So I'm excited to dive into the matchup. So, Julian, let's talk about your Panthers.
Okay.
Sam Darnold. First three games of the year have been pretty good, have they not?
Yeah. I mean, he's been a lot better than I expected, honestly, coming into the year. I was one of the skeptics of whether Sam Darnold was truly a franchise quarterback. Now, after three games, as well as he's played almost 900 yards passing, hasn't really turned it over. Did have a couple fumbles the other night against Houston, but were able to recover those. Lost one week one, had the wild interception that reminded you of what he looked like back in New York against the Saints in week two. He's, for the most part, taking care of the football. He's got the ball out to his playmakers. And DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, not so much. Hoping to see more of him now that McCaffrey's going to be out for a little bit. But Sam Darnold has looked like the quarterback that a lot of folks thought he could be when he came out of USC. He looks comfortable in Joe Brady's scheme, and he's making plays. So I'm excited what I've seen so far from him. But he's yet to play from behind. So there's plenty of other questions that need to be answered about Sam Darnold before we can go ahead and definitively say that he is the answer at quarterback here long-term in Carolina.
Yeah, so far so good for Sam Darnold. A great start for him. I want to talk about DJ Moore. You brought him up.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players in the entire league. I tweet about him every single week because he's just so much fun to watch. But why hasn't he gotten more national attention and respect? Because we see all the time, you know, people list their top five, top 10 receivers, and he's never in that list, and I don't understand why. Well, can you explain this at all to me?
I think it's as simple as he plays for the Panthers, man. It's not like the Panthers get a ton of national coverage. I mean, the last time the Panthers were, anytime they're ever talked about in the last decade, it's because of who? Cam Newton. Yep. Cam Newton basically put this franchise on the map, even though back in 2003, they went to the Super Bowl in the 2004, it was 2003 season, 2004 Super Bowl, that they went down to Houston and lost to the New England Patriots at the end of that game. But outside of that, it's not like it's an organization that a lot of people talk about. So, yeah, you've had great players like Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, and Luke Kuechly certainly got plenty of his due throughout his career. But for DJ Moore, I mean, he's just kind of been overshadowed. But you look at him last few seasons, he's had over 1,000 yards receiving back-to-back years with the likes of Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him, PJ Walker, he had Kyle Allen, Will Greer, Cam Newton, who barely had an arm at that point in time, and all he's done is produce. So, yeah, he should definitely get more talk about him. And with the way Sam Darnold's played so far this season, I think a lot of people are paying attention to him and the Panthers' start, and it'll start to get a little bit more attention, especially on Sunday going up against a Dallas Cowboys team that on the other side has some pretty good receivers themselves. So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs in this game for an opportunity for DJ Moore to really shine.
He's already having a fantastic season. I just hope it doesn't continue here in week four. No, that's just kidding. I hope he has a great game. Christian McCaffrey, he's not going to play in this game due to a hamstring injury. First and foremost, how big of a loss is that for Carolina's offense?
Yeah, it's massive, if we're being honest. Yeah. Like, as soon as he went out of that game Thursday night against the Texans, the offense wasn't the same. Like they got down to a situation where the Panthers have struggled in these short yardage situations, especially in the red zone, since last season and the first couple weeks of the season. And you're looking and seeing, where's McCaffrey? Well, he's in the injury tent, and you're going to Chuba Hubbard on fourth and one, and you're getting stuffed. Now, that's a lot of that's the interior offensive line. But McCaffrey, it's not just him, his ability to run the football. It's not just his ability to receive it out of the backfield. He's so good in pass protection. And currently the guy who's going to be stepping up for him, Chuba Hubbard, who I like, and I thought that was a really good draft pick by the Panthers, he just is not there when it comes to receiving the football and protecting Sam Darnold. Because that, you look at week one, when Robbie Anderson had that 57-yard reception, Dennis Daly, who's going to be starting at left guard for the Panthers since Pat Elflein is on IR, he started at right guard in that game. He completely whiffed on his block, but McCaffrey stepped up, took on the rusher, and gave Darnold the time to maneuver the pocket and hit Robbie Anderson downfield. Not having that, it's something that a lot of people need to pay attention to moving forward. It's going to hurt this offense, not just with them rushing, but the pass protection, I think, is the underrated aspect of Christian McCaffrey that a lot of folks just don't pay attention to. When we just look at the stats and the numbers, that's where he's probably one of the better backs in the league when it comes to that.
Let's stay on the offensive line, because we have an old friend starting at left tackle, I believe, right? Cam Irving is playing left tackle for this team.
Is he a friend or a foe?
I mean, he was with Dallas for about three games last year before he got hurt, right?
Yeah. So,
I like Cam Irving. I think he got a bad rap early in his career. But, like, if he's your fourth or fifth best lineman on your team, you can survive that way, right? My question is, how is the rest of this Carolina offensive line holding up for the first couple games?
I'm not really sure where he would rank Cam Irving when you look at the Panthers offensive line right now. But, yeah, I mean, Taylor Moton got the bag right before the season, one of the highest paid right tackles in the NFL. He's been pretty much flawless throughout the season. Matt Paradis, the center, he's on his last year of his deal. He's had his ups and downs. John Miller, who missed the first game against the Jets due to COVID, came back week two against the Saints and played every single offensive snap. Matt Rhule said it. He was an integral part of them winning that game. He's been good, but he's also had his ups and downs. Pat Elflein's no longer in the lineup. You put in Dennis Daly, but again, he's had his ups and downs. So this offensive line has been pretty mercurial. They've been up and down so far this season. They were a lot better in the second half against the Texans on Thursday after giving up three sacks. Now, one of those you could attribute to Sam Darnold not getting the football out quick enough. Either way, this is one of the key concerns going to the season. Sam Darnold didn't have time back in New York, and there was a lot of concerns whether he would have time here in Carolina. You have plenty of weapons on this offense. We've already talked a lot about them. We haven't even spoken about Terrace Marshall, but they can have a fantastic season so far this season, or he can have a fantastic season here in Carolina and a career. The O-line is, they've been okay, but they have a lot of room to improve. I don't think they really face a pass rush yet that can dominate them and lead to a day where Sam Darnold's potentially seeing ghosts like he did back in New York.
There's just so many interesting storylines in this offense. We could do a whole show on that, but we got to move quickly over to the defense because I know we're running out of time. I thought Phil Snow has been really good the first couple of weeks of the season, but he's going to have his hands full this week with no J.C. Horn. They did trade for C.J. Henderson, but what are you expecting for the secondary that's a little bit of like a makeshift mode right now?
Three of the five secondary starters from week one are currently on IR. Yikes. Miles Hartsfield, who hurt his wrist, is out for the next, I guess, 6 to 10 weeks. It was originally 8 to 12, so it's been 2 weeks, so I guess it's 6 to 10 weeks now. You, of course, J.C. Horn, eighth overall pick, the first defensive player taken off the board. He was covering the number one receiver each of the 3 weeks. He's not going to be out. He might be done for the season with three broken bones in his foot. And then Justin Burris, who started last year at safety, has been back again this year for the Panthers. He's out with a groin injury, was placed on IR earlier this week. That's an issue for the Panthers. Jeremy Chinn, he's still there. Dante Jackson, who's been excellent so far this season, particularly in run defense, where earlier in his career, there's a lot of questions whether he was a willing tackler. Well, he's been more than willing tackler. He's also probably been their best cover corner so far this season. What it means is guys like Rashawn Melvin, who they signed in free agency, but he didn't make the active roster, was later signed to the practice squad, now playing on his ninth team, is going to have to step up as he was signed to the active roster earlier this week. And he's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to start for them. AJ Boye, who's a key free agent signing, hasn't played far this season, missed the first two games because of the PED suspension that he was serving from last year. After coming back from Denver, he was out on Thursday night as they want to give him more time to recover from a soft tissue injury. He's probably going to be their number two, and he's been a Pro Bowler before. I have a lot of confidence in what he potentially could be. Just the question is, what will he be, considering he hasn't played football since what, this November, December of last year for a Broncos team, and he was injured for the most part last season with Denver. Sean Chandler's looked pretty good at safety so far this season. Sam Franklin's going to have to step up and be in play safety as well for the Panthers. There are question marks, especially when you're going up against Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin at tight end. You got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and then, I mean, Zeke and Tony Pollard can also come out of the backfield. There's a lot of matchups the Carolina Panthers are going to have to hopefully be able to take care of with the injury issues that they had the last couple of weeks going up against the Cowboys on Sunday.
Yeah, if the Cowboys are going to win this game, it's going to be because of their offensive weapons against the secondary. So it's something to keep an eye on. So,
quick pause and more with me and Marcus here in just a moment. The thing I'm really interested in is Dak Prescott. As we know, last year he had a catastrophic leg injury. I hated to see it. I think anyone who feels for any of these players hated to see that. I've loved Dak Prescott since he was back at Mississippi State. The fact that he took Mississippi State to number one in the country that year with Dan Mullen, I don't think a lot of people understand just truly how remarkable a feat that was. He looks like he's been playing some of his best football of his career so far this season. What exactly have you seen from Dak Prescott that's made him successful through the first 3 weeks of the season?
So we're going to start off actually with a negative, right? So If you watch Dak play, it's pretty clear he's just not the athlete that he was a year ago at this time, right? Like, I think that the two surgeries on his foot and ankle have really zapped him of some of his athleticism and quickness. So, like, earlier on in his career, you used to see the Cowboys run a lot of read option, and they would try to get Dak out on the move and scramble and use him that way. But now he's really just a pocket passer. And I actually think that's been good for him, right? He's learned so much more about how to operate from the pocket and throw on timing and with anticipation. And it's just made him a much better player. So he feels totally comfortable in this scheme. He loves playing with Kellen Moore. This is only like their ninth game really together, with Kellen Moore having no handcuffs on him at all from the head coach. So he just feels so at home in this scheme. And he's winning from the pocket. And when he's doing that, he's awfully hard to beat. So I think this is the best we've ever seen him play.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the Monday Night Football game against the Eagles, and he was pretty reticent to go out there and to run the football, which I don't think is a bad thing for Dak, but he's been fantastic so far this season. Now, one of the things, too, heading into Monday Night Football was the questions about what's going on with Zeke Elliott. Him and Tony Pollard, they combined for 160 yards rushing on Monday night, but prior to then, it looked like Tony Pollard was more of the feature back. What's the deal there in the backfield of the Cowboys and how they're trying to split those reps between Zeke, who's the high-paid back, and Tony Pollard, who's also a fantastic player in his own right?
Yeah, it's a full-blown committee now. And the way that the Cowboys are going to divvy out these touches are basically by whoever's running better. And I think the goal is to get both of these guys around 15 touches, but I don't think they want any one guy to exceed 21 or 22. They're both very talented. They both have different skill sets. And depending on the matchup, there's going to be one guy that's just playing better. I'm not sure who that's going to be this week against Carolina's defense that's insanely fast. So it might be Ezekiel Elliott just trying to run between the tackles, or Dallas might try to use Tony Pollard more on the outside to keep up with that speed. But they are going to be a committee. You're going to see both of those guys play a ton. You'll see some of them, sometimes they play together, but this is no longer a backfield where Ezekiel Elliott gets 24 touches and Tony Pollard gets 4. That's just not happening anymore.
Yeah, and that's probably for the best, honestly. Yes. I mean, we talk about here in Carolina all the time, Christian McCaffrey and his workload. Drafting Chuba Hubbard in part was to try and take some of that away from McCaffrey, who touched the ball 59 times in the first 2 weeks. And as we've seen, he's already out for the next couple weeks with the hamstring. And I don't know how much that's based off of the workload or just bad luck for Christian McCaffrey. But seeing that Dallas has that running back by committee, seemingly for a lot of Panther fans, is probably pretty appetizing since we don't have that here.
Julie, I got a question for you. Just really quick one.
Sure.
Do you think D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart is the best 1-2 punch ever at running back?
I mean, certainly in this franchise's history. The funny thing about that season, too, is like both of those guys had 1,000 yards rushing in that season, and the Panthers went, I believe, 8-8. Didn't even make the playoffs.
They're not great.
It's like, how is that even possible that you could have a two-headed monster like that? Smash
that. They were a lot of fun, though. So I just want to mention that out there. So go ahead. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, they were. People love Jonathan Stewart still. People are less less inclined to say nice things about D'Angelo Williams over the last couple of years. Either way. But back to your Cowboys, though. Wide receiving core. Of course, you don't have Michael Gallup right now. He's on IR. CeeDee, Amari Cooper. What kind of challenge do you think these guys present to a banged-up Panther secondary on Sunday?
I mean, they're just really good. And it's the way the Cowboys have built their team. It's really their only path to victory against good teams is, hey, we're just going to outscore you, right?
Yeah.
And they have multiple ways they can do that, right? CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are both guys who can win outside, but they also can come down and play in the slot. So if you have a slot corner that's struggling, they're going to put CeeDee in there and dare him to tackle. If you have some linebackers that are not great in coverage, they're going to put two tight ends on the field with Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. And we saw that on Monday night. Dalton Schultz had a monster game against the Eagles linebacker. So they're deep. They're super talented up top. I think Amari Cooper is one of the top two or three route runners in the league. They're going to present problems for just about any team in the league. It's just, can the offensive line hold up? And for the most part, they have. Now, they're missing Lyle Collins. The center, Tyler Biadasz, is struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
But Dallas has done some good things to kind of mitigate their offensive line. But when everything is clicking and they're protecting Dak, it's one of the top two or three offenses in the league.
Yeah, and that's the key. You bring up the offensive line. This Panthers defense, we didn't even really get into the edge rushers and the pass rush earlier in the show, but they have been awesome so far this season. Yes. 14 sacks, 30 quarterback hits. You bring up Lyle Collins, who, what, he bribed like an NFL worker who was doing his drug test or something like
allegedly
bribed someone for the NFL because he was going to fail a drug test. And he's about been suspended for 5 games. So it's going to be his third missed game.
Really quickly, the NFL actually suspended him for 2 games.
Okay.
He appealed it, and when he went to go appeal it, his case was so bad, they actually upped it to 5 games. So that's got to be the worst appeal in NFL history.
That's just incredible that you got dudes allegedly out here bribing NFL employees. Either way, McKee's out, but you got Zach Martin, who's back after having his COVID stint earlier in the season. You talk about Beatus struggling. Tyron Smith is there. How does this offensive line potentially stack up against guys like Brian Burns, Hassan Reddick, who have been just fantastic so far this season with 3.5 and 2 and 3 sacks, or 4.5 sacks for Hassan Reddick and 3 sacks from Brian Burns so far this season?
Burns and Reddick are really, really good players. Really good. And I think Burns has been underrated going all the way back to Florida State.
Yes. Thank you.
But Tyron Smith is a different animal, right? Like when Tyron Smith is at the top of his game, which he is right now, I don't think it matters who you put on that side. He's just going to lock him down. Now, the other side is where it gets tricky, right? No Lyle Collins. So Terrence Steele, an undrafted rookie free agent, is playing over there. He's been okay. Now, the Cowboys have had to use a lot of guys to kind of help him and chip. That's my concern. But I'll be honest, Julian, my biggest concern is Derrick Brown. Tyler Biadasz has not played well to start the season. Vita Vea just destroyed him in week 1. He has a lot of problems handling power. Well, Cowboy fans, if you're listening to this right now, Derek Brown plays with a lot of power. That's the matchup I'm really concerned about. Even though the edges are, I think, more talented and probably better at this stage in their career, I think Brown has a bigger mismatch inside.
Yeah, Brown's been fantastic. Daquan Jones, too, coming over from Tennessee. He's also been able to add a lot in that interior offensive or defensive line for the Carolina Panthers. Looking at the defense, though, like we both think this is probably going to be a shootout. Mm-hmm. I think the Panthers have an awesome defense, but that Cowboys offense is going to present a challenge that the rookie quarterback in Davis Mills and the rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson with the Houston Texans and New York Jets, respectively, just weren't going to offer much. And then the Saints, they had issues on the offensive line, which pretty much disrupted their entire day offensively. And we saw Tampa Jameis. Defensively, though, for the Cowboys, our old friend Dan Quinn, who was a former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, so not really a foe for the Carolina Panthers. He's taken over as the DC after, you know, had a lot of success in Seattle under Pete Carroll, which led him to getting the Falcons job. What have you seen from him and his unit so far this season that apparently what leads the league in takeaways after 3 weeks?
Eight takeaways after 3 weeks. So there's just some guys in the league that are fine head coaches, but are born to be defensive coordinators, right? Like Wade Phillips is the best example of that. Like Wade Phillips was a good coach for the Cowboys and for a couple other teams. But when they're just focusing on one side of the ball, they can be fantastic. And that's exactly what Dan Quinn has been this year. They've had just a litany of injuries on defense already this year with DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory missing a game because of COVID. Their secondary, some linebackers have been hurt, and yet they just find ways to make plays. They've got some weird fronts up front where, you know, they're going to put Michael Parsons over your worst offensive lineman and dare him to block him in space. They're going to send blitzes for four guys sometimes from one side. So the talent, if you look on paper, doesn't look like it's great, but they're playing really good team defense right now. They're getting quarterbacks frustrated and on their heels. I'm excited to see this matchup because Sam Darnold is somebody who historically, if you pressure him, will throw you the ball. Can the Cowboys get pressure on him in this game? I think so, but we shall see.
One last thing for you, and my listeners that aren't Locked On Panthers know how interested I am in the kicking situations across the NFL, as we have one here that's questionable with Zane Gonzalez as the third kicker so far this season for the Panthers. Greg Zuerlein for the Cowboys. It's been a storyline 2 of the 3 weeks so far this season. Week 1 against Tampa, week 2, the game winner on the road against the Chargers. Didn't come up at all week 3 because of the blowout Monday night. How concerning, if at all, is the situation there with Greg Zuerlein, as this could be a very close game that comes down to a last-minute kick?
I mean, I don't trust him at all, so I want to avoid kicking as much as possible, right? Even last week against the Eagles, they scored a touchdown to go up 20-7. It's like, okay, great, you're up 14. They missed the extra point, and you missed it bad. It's like, just when we are starting to trust Zuerlein, it's like you miss an extra point, and all of a sudden now we've got the concern again about him. So I think the Cowboys, they kind of know their kicking situation's a little shaky right now. I do think they're going to try to avoid it as much as possible, like extra points. And then if they can go for it at any point when it's not super unrealistic, they're going to do it. So, yeah, you're looking at end of the half situations where the Cowboys are only kicking in 4th and 15, and that's probably about it.
Marcus and I will give you our keys to Sunday's matchup here in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand or warehouse happens to carry? You have computers of access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Yes, I'm talking about your smartphone, folks. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find a solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're back and we're better than ever, as all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field for a start of another
football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to a website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKEDON.
All right, Julian, let's do some keys to this game. For you and the Panthers, what do you think is something that we have to keep an eye on for this game?
Robbie Anderson, someone I brought up earlier, he has barely any targets over this season, only 11, only five reception. He needs to be involved in this offense, especially now that Christian McCaffrey is not going to be a part of it. Sam Darnold has had opportunities to go down deep downfield. And Matt Rhule said in his press conference on Wednesday that it's not really a concern for him that Darnold at times has missed the opportunities for large chunk plays. But you have to look at it, though. If you have the opportunity to go downfield to Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, you should take that opportunity, especially against the Cowboys defense that in the past, maybe not so far this season, has shown that they are willing to, not willing, but they will give up some chunk plays. So if he can take advantage of that and blow the top off of this defense with Robbie Anderson, I think that'd be a massive key for the Carolina Panthers in trying to find some chunk plays and make it a little bit easier for them on Sunday, as they're going to probably be in a shootout against Dallas. The last couple of weeks, the keys have also been for me, and it's been pretty much every week, get after the quarterback. Yes. Week one, Zach Wilson, rookie, make his life hell, succeeded with that. Week two, Jameis Winston, yeah, sure, he looked great against the Packers. But it's Jameis. You get after him, he'll do stupid things. He did stupid things in that game. Week three, Davis Mills, come on. He sounds like a shopping mall. Get after him and force turnovers, which they weren't able to do, but they were able to get enough pressure on him. I don't know if you can really pressure Dak and get him to make a lot of mistakes, but it didn't get to him like Philadelphia did in that one play in the end zone where it's kind of troubling to me that Kellen Moore would have such a long developing play there in the end zone. But still, if they can get after Dak and kind of knock him off, especially now he's more of a pocket passer than he is more of a dual threat like he was early in his career, I think the Panthers can have success there, especially the way that Brian Burns and Hassan Reddick and this entire defensive line has been able to get after the passer so far. And for Sam Darnold, I want to learn a lot about him in this game. The Panthers have yet to trail so far this season. Offensively, they've been up 75% of the time. He's yet to have to stress so far this season. Yeah, he's faced some pressure at times with the offensive line struggling, and he hasn't really turned over the ball so far this season. Yeah, he's had a couple strip sacks, but he's able to recover those. I want to see how he responds against a marquee quarterback like a Dak Prescott and an offense. Like, they're not playing against each other, but still, it's the first time he's faced off against a quarterback who he hopes to be as good as. He's not an equal to him just yet, and I think if he continues to play the way he's played so far, that maybe you can look at Dak Prescott as a peer. My biggest question for Darnold is, yeah, he's shown that he's capable through 3 weeks, that he can help you win ball games, he can take care of the football. But at the end of the day in the NFC, the guys you got to get past if you want to go play for a Super Bowl are Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, the way he's played so far with the Rams, your guy Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson.
Can he, quarterbacks.
Yeah, can you be equal to those guys when your team needs you to do? Because nowadays in football, you can have a great defense, but great offense beats great defenses more times than not. Can you be equal to Dak Prescott and go toe-to-toe with him in a big-time game on the road against the Cowboys? That's one I want to see if Sam Darnold can do that. So those are my keys for the Panthers heading to Sunday's game.
I will say, Sam Darnold, 1-0 against Dak Prescott in his career. He had a really good game.
Yes, that's true.
A couple years ago. So
he that was has the done most it mono game, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. He has done it before. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can do it again. For me, it's really simple. It's one key to the victory for the Cowboys. Can they protect Dak Prescott up front? I'm honestly not worried as much about the edge rushers because we talked about the tackle situation. The Cowboys are fine there. And Dak has a really good feel of when to step up into the pocket and kind of avoid the speed rushers. Like, it's the one thing he does exceptionally well in the pocket. However, where he has always struggled is with pressure right in his face. He sometimes gets a little too antsy. He'll bail out of the pocket. He'll try to throw with a guy right into his chest. if the Cowboys can't handle Derrick Brown and the other guys up front, I think the Panthers can do – I think they can shut down their offense. And when I mean shut down, I think they can hold them to 21, 24 points.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys can protect him and give him a clean pocket, then I think Dak should – he should light up the secondary. I mean, he really should, considering the weapons and the injuries that Carolina has had. So that's as simple as it gets for me. If the Cowboys block Derrick Brown, they're going to win this game. If not, I think they're going to lose.
Yeah, it's not just Derrick Brown, too. I mean, Daquan Jones, Morgan yes. Fox coming up the middle. He's had a sack so far this season, but he had a ton of pressures in that week two game against the Saints. Brown has looked a lot like his Auburn self in terms of stopping the run, but he's never really been a pass rusher. But you're right to bring up that interior pass rush. And if the Panthers will also, with Phil Soto, their defensive coordinator, they'll also send safeties up the middle or Shaq Thompson in a rushing situation there, too. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yes, I'm excited for this game. It should be a really, really good 1 o'clock game where the 1 o'clock slate is not great this week, but I think this is the premier matchup. So, Julian, tell the people where they can find your work.
Well, they can find me the same place they can find you, Marcus. You can find me on Apple Podcasts. It's Locked On Panthers. You can also find me on Spotify, wherever you listen to the shows. You can also follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, like City Council. So at Julian Council on Twitter, if you ever want to get any perspective on the Panthers, what's going on in my hometown city here of Charlotte, and just whatever comes to my mind that I feel like tweeting out.
And I'm at Marcus_Mosier. You can follow my co-host at McCoolBCB. That's Landon McCool. You can follow the show at Locked On Cowboys. Julian, thank you so much. Good luck on Sunday, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
I would say good luck to you guys, but fine.
You need
good
to
luck.
Win. You need
good to win. Good luck to the Cowboys. I'm excited about this game. Should be a good one. Awesome stuff there with Marcus Mosier of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. Make sure to go check him out where you find me here, either on Apple Podcasts, where you can rate, review, and subscribe. Check us out also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Odyssey, and wherever you listen to this show and all of your favorite podcasts. Make sure right now to go over to Twitter, follow me at Julian Council, and tweet at me your weekly Friday mailbag questions here on Locked On Panthers. You can also DM me if you want to do that, if you're running out of characters, but don't get crazy. Send me in those questions right now as we'll break it all down on tomorrow's show for yet another edition of the weekly Friday mailbag here on Locked On Panthers. Once again, folks, thank you so much for your support. I will talk to you tomorrow.